141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Scotland celebrations continue in Boston as the Tartan Army take over Fenway Park. The national side head back to Charlotte as they start their Morocco preparations, and the deals that will see Danny Rule leave Rangers and Derek McInnes arrive at Ibrox are close to completion. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Greg Taylor and Roger Hanna.
Andrew, you know when it's uncharted territory for this show. The Rangers manager is gone. The Hearts manager's coming in. The Celtic manager's been confirmed but not unveiled. The St Mirren manager's been appointed and not unveiled. Motherwell are still looking for a manager, and nobody's interested in any of it because Scotland have won their first game at a World Cup finals since before you pair were even born.
Welcome to the mad world of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Greg. How are you?
No, thank you very much. An honour to be here. And no better time after a momentous win in the first game.
What did you make of it?
Yeah, managed to stay up the 3 o'clock kickoff. I was in Spain, so it was special scenes. Was delighted for the boys. Amazing achievement, and hopefully we can build on it.
And some of the scenes that we've seen over there, the supporters and the build up to the game, and then even after the game, I don't think the people of Boston really know what's hit them. We saw in Fenway Park last night with the Boston Red Sox completely taken over, turned into a football atmosphere.
Never mind the scenes over there. What about the scenes over here? You keeping Gordon DL up to 5 o'clock in the morning? That's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, I think the less said about that is the better. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Of course, we are still reflecting on Scotland's first win at a World Cup in 36 years. So if you've got any thoughts on the performance, the team, anything else, maybe you just want to talk about the scenes over in Boston, maybe you're over in Boston and you want to get involved on the show, you can phone us in, or you can head down to the greatest bar in Boston where Gabriel Antoniazzi is, and he can get you on live on the show. Or you can do it the traditional way, 0141 951 1025. And Scotland's return to the big stage continues this Friday night when we take on Morocco at the Boston Stadium. Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be on air from 10 p.m. live from Scotland's fan zone at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. Plus, we'll be back again on Wednesday the 24th for Scotland's final group game. That one, of course, against Brazil. And how would you like to be there? Every night this week, we're giving away a pair of tickets on to the fan zone, I should say, Wednesday the 24th. And all you have to do is call the show. If you get on air, you'll be entered straight into the draw. It opens at 6 o'clock. There'll be some former pros there. The likes of Alan Hutton, Michael Stewart will be on stage alongside comedians Chris Forbes and Mark Nelson. Plus, your Clyde One Super Scoreboard team will be there too. If that's not enough, we'll chuck in 50 quid for food and drink while you're at it for every winner. And you can either choose that to celebrate Scotland qualifying for the knockouts, or maybe drown your sorrows. We'll see you. With celebration drinks, I'm sure.
Michael Stewart get into that, yeah?
I think so. Either that or he might be in the car park. Yeah. You'll be able to say hi to him on your way in, I'm sure.
Obviously not an SFA approved event.
But it is over 18s only. All the T's and C's are on our website. So give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025, and you could be heading along to the Brayhead Arena next Friday. It's good to see you back in Scotland, Greg. How has Greece been the past year?
No, it's been good. Disappointing end. Our aim was to hopefully get a bit of silverware, and we lost the cup final and didn't manage to get over the line in the league. So disappointing end that way. But nice to be home and get the home comforts of Scotland. The rain is in, out in force.
Is it nice to see that the craziness of Scottish football, I was going to say, hasn't disappeared. It's maybe even got crazier over the last season that you've not been here.
No, it's unbelievable. I've managed to catch quite a few of the games, and I don't think you could have wrote the end. So amazing for you guys, definitely, and for the boys and at Celtic. It was a fantastic end.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. I think we can cross straight over to Boston. Let's go live to Gabriel Antoniazzi, who is at the greatest bar in Boston, but last night he was at Fenway Park where the Tartan Army were. He can tell us all about that.
Yes, Andrew, good afternoon from central Boston. The start of a new week, and Scotland are top of their World Cup group. All eyes here now turning towards Morocco, who we, of course, play on Friday night down at Foxborough. As you said earlier, the team departed the city yesterday afternoon. They had an evening training session back at their base camp in Charlotte. But if you thought them leaving the city meant the party stopped. You were wrong. The Tartan Army organised a march to the Boston Red Sox Stadium, Fenway Park, one of the most iconic arenas in the world, and they essentially hosted a Scotland night. It was in conjunction with the host. They were dishing out these Red Sox Scotland jerseys that so many people across the city are wearing today. And it was just a fantastic evening. We were there for the game against the Texas Rangers, and the atmosphere, once again, was something else. Now, officially, we were told it was just over 6,000 Scotland fans that they thought were inside, but it looked like and felt like a lot more than that. Songs about John McGinn and Loch Lomond ringing around a baseball park as something you'd never see and never hear. Now, I was sitting next to two local lads who were having to explain the rules to me and giving out about how poor their team are. But they told me that they hadn't seen Fenway Park like that in several years. It was the best atmosphere in a long time here in Boston. So it just goes to show you the power of the Tartan Army, and don't expect it to stop anytime soon. Now, in terms of other fans here in the city, the Haitians have mainly departed. We haven't seen any Moroccans yet. I think they'll come in drips and drabs over the next few days. What we have seen are a lot of Iraqis and Norwegians. They're, of course, playing in Boston down at Foxborough tomorrow at 6 p.m. local time here in America. So it's just a brilliant mix in the city. And what a World Cup it's been so far. Other games, Germany yesterday, just fantastic. Spain on behind us at the moment playing Cape Verde. Lots of Spanish inside this bar as well. But the Tartan Army will continue to keep partying, Andrew. And hopefully I'll grab a few and we can hear from them inside here, the greatest bar.
You're a fan of American sports, aren't you, Roger?
Yeah, some of them. Yeah.
I mean, baseball's rubbish, obviously. If anyone's tried to watch baseball, it's incredibly boring. So no wonder that the Scotland fans were trying to find something else to do and create an atmosphere, because it's of all the American sports, it's probably the worst.
Yeah, and the presence of them has gone down really well. I've seen all the videos, the pictures. I think, you know, the Boston community have really taken the Tartan Army to their hearts over the last few days. They'll continue to be there until the Morocco game on Friday night. Then they'll head down to Miami for the final Group C game against Brazil. But it's great to see the Scotland fans travelling in such huge numbers. The majority of them won't have tickets for the games, Andrew, and they still go and they're having a great time. As we say, you know, wherever they've been, there was a lot of them in New Jersey for the Bolivia game the week before, and a lot of them are based up there in the kind of greater Massachusetts area, and they're having a wonderful time. And listen, Gabs, you can tell, is having a wonderful time as well. I just hope his luggage and his razor arrive soon.
It's the same Scotland top I think he was wearing yesterday. He's been getting stick for what he's been wearing the whole time, Greg, because on day one,
the whole time he's worked for this station.
That is true. It's not exclusive to just this trip. But on night one, he was wearing a Mexico top. He's over there reporting on Scotland. He was wearing a Mexico top. I think yesterday he was wearing that exact same Scotland top. So has that not come off in 24 hours?
Listen, I told you I had to ration the Scotland tops. They're going to be wearing their home strip for the final two games, and I'm going for a run straight after this, so it's going in the wash, okay?
Beautiful strip. Beautiful strip. It's good. Good choice.
It's a nice strip.
By the way, I was amazed looking at the stadium the other day that you expect that Scotland are playing, that it should be a sea of blue. It was a sea of, what are we calling it, salmon, pink, coral.
Salmon, pink. I think the strip's sold out, Gabs, hasn't it? I think it's sold out over here now. It's been so popular.
It's sold out back home. Thankfully, I managed to get it from somewhere that is not back home for a significantly cheaper price, which is why I can only wash it a few times. So I'm having to wear it a couple of days, but it's fine. But
I think that Adidas logo will be falling off it by the next
it's
time
great
we speak
as well
to
with Gabs' fashion choice. It'll be the first ever meeting of the Boston Red Sox and the Gabriel No Socks.
I've actually got socks on today, Roger, because I'm wearing shorts. That's the rule. Socks with shorts, no socks with trousers. Greg will know that, living in Europe now. That's the way it's done.
Culture. He's got it. He's bang on.
What else is happening over the next day or so, Gabriel?
Well, I'll just update you on the temperature. Greg says there's rain back home in Scotland. It's actually slightly cooler today, around 25, 26 degrees.
Oh, I feel
so
terrible
still
for you.
Still roasting hot. But as I said, there's a lot of Norwegians starting to arrive into the city. I'm actually meeting the Norwegian Tartan Army, unofficial, but I'm meeting them on their boat where they're staying. That's this afternoon. And then we'll probably head to the fan zone here in Boston City Centre, just by Faneuil Hall, for the game tomorrow afternoon. But as I said, the games keep coming. But when you're here covering Scotland, your main focus is on Scotland, and you turn around, blink an eye, and then suddenly another world-class team are playing. Germany yesterday, Sweden looked really good last night as well. But I think what's been important, or what's been proven so far in the World Cup, is you shouldn't take these wins for granted. We've seen so many European teams who were favourites not go on and win their games. You're thinking of Switzerland or even Turkey and Brazil. They're big favourites and they couldn't win their game. So I think now the general feeling amongst the Tartan Army, certainly the people I spoke to last night at Fenway Park, is now that the game, the emotion has subsided, everyone's just buzzing with 3 points. We are top of a World Cup group. Winning the first game in a World Cup for 36 years, that's all that matters. And if we just keep a clean sheet in one of our next two games, there's, what, a 99% chance we'll be playing a knockout match in a major tournament for the first time in our history.
Yeah, because people can be picky, Greg, and I saw some people talk about the fact that Scotland didn't beat Haiti by 2 goals or 3 goals and 4 goals and put us in a better position to get to the knockout stages. We're watching Spain against Cape Verde at the moment. It's 53 minutes on the clock and that game is goalless. Any 3 points you can get at the World Cup is going to be invaluable, isn't it?
100%. I think there's not any poor team in the tournament. You're at the World Cup for a reason. I know it's bigger numbers, but I think it was only our fifth victory in a World Cup finals in our history, so that shows you how hard it is to do. And I think the boys can be incredibly proud and excited on what they can now build on as an important 3 points.
Well, let's speak to Kayleigh, who is on the line in Paisley. Kayleigh, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good.
How's your World Cup experience been so far?
That's quite hard to put into words. It was unbelievable just from start to finish. The atmosphere was incredible, and I think the Scottish people have done themselves really proud in terms of the way they've conducted themselves. The locals loved it. Just a fantastic experience.
So tell us your story. Have you been to Boston then? You've come back since?
Yes. So we flew out on Tuesday, went to the game on Saturday, and we flew back through the night last night, myself and my three kids and my father-in-law. So it was fantastic.
Brilliant. What has that been like to be able to share it with your family, share it with your children? Because, you know, it's the type of thing, it hasn't come around in 28 years. It's such a rare thing for Scotland to be able to go over there and soak up the atmosphere, go to the game, must be really special for you.
Yeah, core memories. It's just been incredible and just really grateful that my kids have got to experience it. Their dad works as part of the Scotland setup, so they're very fortunate that they get to go along and do these things. But it was just brilliant, really good.
Can I be cheeky and ask, what's his role?
He's the kit man.
Oh, there we go.
So they get some pretty cool things, but yeah, just great, and just get to see the lads and how hard they've all worked and all the staff behind the scenes. Just so much work's went into it, and yeah, they've done the nation proud, so here's hoping we can go on and perhaps make it onto the next round. Who knows, dare to dream.
Kayleigh, if he's anything spare left over, he couldn't pop around and help out Gabriel, could he? Because he's struggling a wee bit.
That he's lost a case. We also lost a case. There seems to be a theme here, but yeah, if you look up Jim McAllister and see if he can send you along a couple of strips.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Yeah, one thing as well, we're now just getting closer to the people that have printed GD on Gordon Duncan's SFA gear as well. He's been getting a lot of stick for it. He was addressing it on the show last night, and he was telling us that it's purely laundry related. It's so that it doesn't get mixed up with everyone else's.
Kayleigh, get Jim on the phone and get him to phone in, because I'm not so troubled. The boys wind up, Gordon Duncan, he's got GD on his top. I'm not so troubled about that. But can you not get him a bigger size?
Do you think Gordon specifically asked for an extra small? Is that what it is? Try to get it tight around the arms?
I think that's, well, I don't know whether he's asked for it, but goodness me.
Gordon the other night at dinner, so I must get Jim to make sure that he gets some proper gear then. If he's not giving him the right stuff, we'll need to get him told.
Get him the right size.
Kayleigh, are you feeling optimistic about what Scotland can do in the next couple of games?
Well, who would have thought we were sitting top of the table, you know, after one game? There's a lot, you know, there's a lot still to do, but, you know, we'll take it. You know, 3 points is unbelievable. So who knows, dare to dream.
That's it. Starting with a win is positive. It means that the players, you know, it's a positive camp. Everyone's feeling good. The supporters are in a great mood for the next few days. There will need to be improvements in the performance because Morocco and Brazil are better sides than Haiti. But all you can do is win your first game, try and take the positives and see what you can do against better opposition in the next game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the next two games, you could argue, might actually suit Scotland a wee bit more. You can play slightly more on the counter. The they're two top nations in the world and they're probably expected to dominate the ball. And I think in these games under the manager, the boys have thrived in these type of games. You remember Spain at Hampden, and I'm sure there's countless others. So hopefully that the next two can be the same as them.
What does Steve Clarke do in those games when it's coming up against teams where Scotland are the underdog? Does he do anything differently? Is there a different mindset towards it, or does he just try and treat every opposition the same?
No, exactly. He's so meticulous working on your shape without the ball, and I think that's been a big part of the success in the 7 years of the manager being there. And I think for these next two games it'll be no different, and I'm excited.
Would you expect big changes from Steve Clarke going into the Morocco game?
I would expect changes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect big changes. I don't think you'll see two up front. I think he went two up front because he knew Haiti would play two up front, and if you match them up, our superior quality should surely shine through. If you try and match up with Morocco and Brazil, their superior quality will probably shine through. So he'll change something, he'll go one up, and you can decide who you like the one to be, whether it's Adams, whether it's Shankland, whether it's Lyndon Dykes. I'm just not sure whether that means a five-man midfield or whether it means a four-man midfield and Kieran Tierney comes back into a back three, and it's almost like a sort of five-box-one. That's the decision he'll need to make. But either way, I can see maybe two, certainly no more than three changes in personnel.
Would you go along with that, Greg?
No, I think Roger's spot on there. I think it's good options to have. You know, you've got Kieran there who can play the left of the back three if that is the way the manager decides to go. And if not, again, I think the subs the other night who came on made a big impact. Lyndon, Ryan, Kenny, brilliant experience. So I think you've got good options there if you're wanting to bring in a third midfielder. So I think we're in capable hands with if that is the decision the manager makes.
What are the plans for the next couple of games, Kayleigh?
Watching from home, a bit late for the kids. They're all quite small, so we might need to watch it the next day. But fingers crossed. I did say to Jim, when will I see you next? He said, I don't know. So we'll wait and see if we get through the next round. But fingers crossed.
Finals the 19th of July, Kayleigh. So after that.
I don't know if I can cope with three kids for that long.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Kayleigh. Appreciate the call. 0141 951 1025 if you get any more thoughts. And before we go to a break, what about this? How well do you know your international football? Why not take part in our free football predictor for the chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers? We're looking for Super Scoreboard's smartest armchair pundits to predict how the summer's football is going to unfold. You need to try and put all the groups in order, predict who's going to make it through to the knockout stages. Can you predict who's going to win the whole thing? Enter now for your chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers plus bonus prizes for runners-up. Entries close on the 18th of June at 5 o'clock. You can enter now at Clyde1.com. You can also find it via the Clyde One Super Scoreboard social channels.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
He's running about. I mean, yeah, we're over for the soccer, man. You know what I mean? We love the soccer. You have got that written all over you, mate. You're guilty. So, I'm not asking you to pay them a fortune, but I'm telling you, you're not going to cut their wages. That is not on.
I think it's a good move for Rangers, it's a good move for Derek McInnes, and I think Hearts will be nonplussed about it, to be perfectly honest with you. You're describing and talking through a barbecue like a football pundit.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Greg Taylor here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, taking your calls through to 7 o'clock. So whatever is on your mind, 0141 951 1025. Loads of Scotland chat on the go, as you'd expect. Scotland getting their first World Cup win in 36 years across the weekend. We'll take a look a bit later on at the Rangers managerial situation. It's going to be Danny Rule out, Derek McInnes in, waiting for confirmation on that. What are you making of it, Rangers fans? You can give us a call and we will chat a bit about that later. Let's go back to Boston and speak to Gabriel Antoniadze, because I think he's managed to get a hold of a Scotland fan and they're in there and they're matching tops.
Yes, Andrew. I'm joined by Murray from Clyde Bunk. Murray, thank you very much for joining us. Now, Murray was at the game on Saturday night and also at Fenway Park last night. Let's start there because that's the biggest story coming out of yesterday. What did you make of it all? Baseball.
Scotland fans just totally took over. Baseball was just a big game of rounders, to be honest with you. But aye, the Scotland fans were incredible. Probably better than the game at some point, surely. It was just, it was unbelievable how many of us there was as well.
Is that something that's taken you by surprise? Because people that have come over here, it seems like there's a lot more than we thought there would be because of the prices, the ticket prices, the travel costs, how long it is to get here, the hotels, everything like that. But there just seems to be Scotland fans everywhere you look in the city.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Even at the game, I was expecting to see quite a lot of Americans. And then just everywhere I looked, it was a Scotland fan. It was incredible. It was incredible to be part of it. And the baseball last night as well, there was just... We were the whole crowd. There was a Mexican wave at one point, and it kind of stopped halfway through. But then you notice it picked up again because that's where the Scotland fans were obviously sat, and we were everywhere.
Did you last till the end of the baseball? Because I didn't.
No, I did not. No, I think we left about maybe just past halfway through. It wasn't great.
No, I know. Right, I'll hand back to you in the studio. But before you make the jokes, yes, we are wearing the same top, and yes, we have matching moustaches. I'm just going to go and get a pair of glasses, okay? So they look exactly the same.
I'm actually just trying to imagine the inverse of that baseball game last night. Imagine a Celtic or Rangers game that had thousands of Boston Red Sox fans at Celtic Park. Or I can't even imagine, or Rybrooks, like, I can't even imagine the inverse of that and how weird it would be. Like, yeah. How odd must have that been for the locals last night?
Absolutely. You'll have seen the clip that's gone viral of the one Bostonian who's unhappy at the presence of the Tartan Army and is out in the street declaring that this is my city and, you know, who are you guys? But I think that's maybe the only grumpy, grouchy Bostonian. Everyone else is taking the Tartan Army to their hearts. They probably think they all look like Gabs, you know, with these moustaches and these Scotland away
it's the
tops,
fashion,
you know.
It's the fashion.
Indeed.
Greg, have you got any pals over there that or is it just having to watch it all unfold on social media?
No, I'm quite lucky. My brother's going out on Wednesday. A couple of my best friends are heading out on Wednesday, so they're going to the Morocco game, and I think my brother's staying out for the Brazil game, so Ryan Christie managed to sort him a couple of tickets, so he's one of the lucky few going to get to see them games.
Was there ever any temptation from you to head over?
I think if we'd had a wee bit more time off, I would have tried to, but I'm back to Greece on Monday, so couldn't quite squeeze it in.
What are the plans, Murray, for the next couple of weeks? Are you managing to stay out for the duration?
So we're in here. We leave just after the game against Morocco. Luckily enough, I've got tickets to that game as well, so I'm hoping that would be just as good. Our chances, obviously, aren't as good for that game, so it'll see me anyway. But yeah, it doesn't matter. It's Scotland. We'll be there no matter what.
The fact that we managed to get those 3 points, what's it done for your ambitions that Scotland can make history, can get out the group, can try and make a dent in this tournament?
Just to get that win, it's incredible. Just words, it genuinely can't be put in words from any fan of any age. Nobody can describe what that means. Just being in with all those fans, it means so, so much to everybody of any club, age, whatever. It means so much. And yeah, it's just, in terms of getting out the group, I think we'll do it now. Obviously, we're probably going to get slagged for saying this on air, but Brazil in the midfield especially didn't look too great against Morocco. So maybe, just maybe, we could sneak a wee point or something there, but you never know. 3 points might just be enough.
Talk to us about the national anthem inside the stadium before the game, because from back here, it sounded incredible. It looked incredible. I know I've seen some statistics about the decibel level of the Scotland supporters. Just what was it like to be in amongst that?
It was, again, I keep saying the same thing, but there is just no words to describe that. It was that. I was lucky enough to be at the Denmark game as well back in November. I thought that was good. Wow, just this just totally blew that out of the park and everything about it. Just obviously being in another continent and just everyone there singing together, it was amazing. The whole way around the stadium as well, it was just incredible.
Because these are memories that last a lifetime for these Scotland supporters, been able to be out there, share it with friends, share it with family. We saw it at the Euros. This is just as special, if not even more special, for the Tartan Army.
Listen, very much so, and it's great to go to any major tournament, but it's 28 years since we've been at a World Cup. You know, a lot of the supporters out there, a lot of the younger guys, will never have been to a World Cup. When we first went to the Euros, you know, the delayed one, 2021, it was here. You know, they didn't get to go to, the longest they got to go was Wembley, and there were hardly any fans because it was just as we were emerging from COVID. A few got to go to Germany for the last Euros a couple of years ago, but it's a different thing. You know, you're going to the United States. The tournament is enormous. It's the biggest sporting event ever. 48 teams in this event. As Gams is saying, there's teams coming out, there's teams going in, there's fans going out, there's fans going in. It is a fantastic life experience for the members of the Tartan Army. And the hope is that we're not waiting another 28 years, that we can become accustomed to going back to World Cups every 4 years.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to the Chuckle Brothers over there in Boston. We'll let you go.
It's great. I know this is your debut on the show, and I know your brother will be watching the show. Just to say to him, if he's going to the World Cup, not to panic. He does not need to wear the away top and grow a moustache.
He's got the beard going at the moment, so I'll make sure he keeps the beard and the tash stays at home.
Okay, doke.
No, we appreciate your time, Murray. Thank you very much. I tell you what, I feel sorry for the Cape Verde players because they've done incredibly well to hold Spain up until the 72nd minute of the game, for the players then to look across to the touchline and see that Lamine Yamal is being substituted on. There's your reward for keeping Spain out for 72 minutes.
He's not been fit. I think the manager was hoping to keep him in reserve for the next couple of games, and this is the break glass in case of emergency substitution.
It's a perfect example of why the win for Scotland in the first group game is so vital and so impressive, because a top nation like Spain, and they're struggling to get it over the line at the moment.
He is of Moroccan descent, isn't he? Lamine Yamal.
Yeah.
Good that he picked Spain, considering who are in our group. I'm not sure I would have liked to have seen him up against Scotland in the next few days. Right, let's go to the phones. Davey is in Paisley. Davey, how are you?
Evening, guys.
Hi, Davey.
Just before I make my point, I'd just like to thank Greg for his contribution to the domination of Scottish football when he was playing with Celtic. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks, Davey. Nice one.
Good, good. So, I've got a couple of points, Roger, but I'll speak about the Scotland game first. Hard watch. Typical of Scotland, 3 points in the bag. I thought their top players on the night never performed. I thought Andy Robertson looked a bit nervous. McTominay, I don't know if he wasn't fit because his stomach bug, and I thought they think John McGinn played perfectly well. However, great result, and we move on to the Morocco game.
Yeah, it maybe wasn't a game of outstanding individual performances. There certainly were some in there, but was it maybe more about just the team collective getting the job done, Greg, rather than, you know, anyone stepping up and being the main man?
Yeah, I think all the pressure was on Scotland on the night. This was the game that everyone had earmarked to get the 3 points. And I think on the night, you can argue, yeah, like some players maybe weren't at their highest of levels, but I think there was also some players did reach that level. I thought Lewis Ferguson in the middle of the park was outstanding. Two centre-backs defended the box unbelievably, and I actually thought Robbo had a brilliant energy up and down, up on the left. So I thought there was good performances there and enough to build on.
And it is a brand new experience for these Scotland players. A World Cup, the pressures that come with that. You talk about the heat, the humidity, Roger. And then going into a game in a major tournament where you are the overwhelming favourites in the eyes of many people. It's a new type of pressure. It's a new environment. Maybe this World Cup will just take a bit of getting used to, and going out in the first game and getting a win any way possible is the way to do it.
Aye, listen, I mean, Davey makes good points, they're all legitimate points, I'm not going to argue with any of his points, but I don't care because we've won the game. I have lived through an awful lot of rubbish in Scotland performances. I was in Moldova when we couldn't beat Moldova, and the Tartan Army were outside Bertie Vogt's dressing room door. I remember the Pharaohs up there. I remember losing at home to Belarus in a qualifier. I have seen some rotten Scotland performances and some miserable qualification campaigns that ended up with us well down the groups. We've won this group. First time we've won a qualifying group since we went to the 1982 finals in Spain. We've got back to the finals for the first time in 28 years, and we've won a game for the first time in 36 years. Have a think about that. 1990. Where were you in 1990? I know where you two were. Nowhere. So it doesn't matter how you win it. It doesn't matter if Scott McTominay had a sore tummy. It doesn't matter if some of the players didn't hit the heights. We've won the game, and we might just be 1 point away from getting to the out the group stages for the first time in the history of ever.
Can you take some hope, Davey, in the fact that, you know, you feel some of the top players maybe didn't perform to their best level, but we have seen what they're capable of. Some of them are playing at the highest level, you know, consistently. You talk about Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay, John McGinn, plenty of other players. The fact that they still have levels to go, is there hope there that now that they've maybe settled into this tournament, that the best is yet to come?
I totally agree. I agree with Greg there. I thought Lewis Ferguson was absolutely tremendous on the day. That's what I'm going to show in the first game. So, as Rogers quite rightly points out, the first cup win years and years, it was great, absolutely brilliant. I think the big players will come to the fore against against better sides like Morocco and Brazil. I think we'll step up to the mark. And I do think we'll get a point after Brazil.
What gives you that belief, Davey?
I just feel as if we've got big game players there. McDominay's, John McGinn's. So I thought Ryan Christie came on and put in a decent shift as well.
Yeah, the fact that there are so many players in that squad that have shown at international level and club level that in the big games, in the big moments, they're capable of stepping up, they're capable of having those special moments, it should give Scotland fans big belief that they can go out in these games against Morocco and Brazil and that they're capable of really making their mark.
For sure, and Davey said there that he thought Scott and John maybe went at their best level, but probably on the night still their biggest two goal threats. Scott hits the post, John scores, John has another big chance, and I think these guys have shown that over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons at Scotland that they are the big men on the big occasions, and we hope for that in the next two.
I mean, the Denmark game is maybe the prime example of that, Roger, isn't it? That, I mean, no, obviously nobody could have imagined that the way that the players were going to step up, but to deliver that in such a special way, if Scotland can replicate 1% of the magic of that night, then we might be in for something brilliant over the next couple of weeks.
Listen, 100%. We're in a great place. We're in the best place we've been for decades. 4 against Denmark, 4 against Curaçao the week before we went, 4 against Bolivia when we got there. We've won against Haiti with a clean sheet. Touch wood, there have been no more injuries in the camp. All the players are in really, really, you know, a good place. They're in a nice training camp down in Charlotte, and they'll be ready for Morocco. Morocco are a really good team. They're ranked 7th in the world. They're the African champions. They were semi-finalists 4 years ago. They should have beaten Brazil the other night. But what is there to fear? You know, the fear is when you're stuck at home and you haven't qualified for these tournaments. And we're now in a position with these guys, the McGinns, the McTominays and the Robertsons, you'll know, Greg, they will have no fear. They're not worried about Morocco. They play these guys week in, week out in Premier League or in Serie A or in the Champions League. They will believe that they can go in and get a result that creates history.
Is that part of why these guys make it to the top level, is that they have that belief in themselves that when they're going out against Morocco and Brazil, none of the guys are going to be fazed by who their opponents are, whether they're wearing that iconic yellow Brazil jersey. It's about going out and just having the belief that they can go and compete.
Now, the guys you spoke about, they're playing at the very top level of football, and I think seeing these guys and looking around in your changing room, it brings the other boys on. You want to emulate what they do and you follow on, and I think that's been a perfect example throughout the tenure of Steve Clarke, as the big players have turned up in the big moments, and it's been a squad game that's been different players on different occasions, and hopefully we do get another night like that.
Thank you to Davey. Let me tell you about this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. On Friday, it was Dawn who struck gold on Make Me a Winner and won £750,000. Here's the moment she got the call.
Oh my goodness, this is just unbelievable. Thank you so much, brilliant.
She says she's going to be spending the money on her family. She wants to give a big amount to Cash for Kids too. And you could be next on our winning team, because we're giving you another shot at winning the cash this Friday. Get your spot in the draw now. To enter, text YES to 61025. Text cost £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules to this network competition there. Or you can call 0344 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. And lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. And someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone. £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win on Friday, text YES to 61025 now.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Greg Taylor here with me, Andrew McLean, taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So keep them coming, 141 951 1025. And it's about 5 minutes away from a shock result in the World Cup. It's still Spain 0, Cape Verde 0. And I mean, it's not as if Spain have been absolutely hammering them, have they?
No, not at all. I mean, I might tempt fate here, but Cape Verde have been quite comfortable. They look very well organised. They've got a bank of five, then a bank of four in front of that, and Spain are struggling to penetrate it.
Yeah, even with Lamine Yamal on, there's not been too much on the go for Spain, but you can imagine that Cape Verde team are just going to push further and further back as these minutes tick on.
I think it just shows the result for Scotland the other night. It is a difficult competition. It's the world's elite, and I think it does show how important it was for us to get them 3 points.
Let's speak to Scott, who is in Lanark. Scott, how are you?
I'm not bad, yourselves?
Good, thank you.
I'm not really like a big football fan, right? But obviously I got up the other night and watched Scotland. So what I was wondering, see, like for 75 minutes, Scotland played fantastic. They sat back and let the team come at them, right? And I believe if there was quality in the other team, we wouldn't get the 3 points, right? Anyway, they sat back 20 minutes into extra time and lucky they never conceded a goal. I want to know if that's Steve Clark's decision or, I don't know, the fans shooting and bawling at them or something, but why did they all of a sudden just let them come at them and sit in a 1-0 on that time frame? How do I know that?
I suppose there can be a lot of reasons for it. It can be tactical. It can be the fact that when you're defending a lead, naturally teams just start to sit back. There's also, I've seen the train of thought that people will say, you know, why didn't Scotland go for it and try and score more goals? Imagine the criticism if Steve Clarke had, you know, thrown on another couple of strikers and then ended up conceding from that. How did you see the sort of pattern of the way the game played out?
No, I think that's exactly that. It's natural when you have something to protect that you do step at that few yards back. You want to make sure that you're a bit more careful. So I think that was no different the other night. We had the 3 points in our grasp, and I think it was about managing the game out. And as much as maybe Haiti had more of the ball near the end of the game, I think there wasn't all that many clear-cut chances, and I think we held on pretty strong.
Absolutely. And it's human nature. If you've got something to protect and you're desperate to protect it, you do whatever you can to protect it. Scotland didn't need to bomb forward and get a second goal. It would have been lovely to win 2-0, 3-0, 4-0 and enhance your chances of reaching the next round. But for me, the important thing was just to get the win. You've seen, you know, a few hours earlier, Switzerland couldn't put away Qatar, and they paid the price in the 96th minute. Qatar get an equaliser, the first ever point at a World Cup final. We didn't want to be the team that gave Haiti their first ever point at a World Cup final. So I think whether you're even conscious that you're doing it, I think it's just human nature that you just, as Greg says, you get back 5 yards and you tighten things up and, you know, you close down the space for Haiti. Scott, you're probably right. If they had had more quality in the final third, we might well have been caught out. That flashing header by Pierrot with 3 or 4 minutes to go, I thought it was in, and it just went past Angus Gunn's far post. So we maybe got a wee bit of fortune there, but listen, we've won the game. Who cares?
Do you see that side of it, Scott?
Well, I'm not, I understand that, but I can't. They're playing very well for 75 minutes, attacking all the time, getting the ball, and then all of a sudden, they sit back right now. I've watched Rangers and Celtic games. Rangers and Celtic scored in the last minute and blah, 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 right? By the end of the day, William Wallace won the Battle of the Boyne and the Battle of Bannockburn because outnumbered to win, no to give up in the last 10 minutes. To sit back and defend. You fight to the end. Right? If Scotland don't fight to the end and look up, and sit back, but if one or not, they're going to lose the World Cup.
I didn't expect us to be comparing Scotland to Haiti to historical battles.
To be fair, Scott, come on now, there wasn't 6 minutes added in Bannockburn.
you need to fight to the end, but right, 90 minutes. Mostly up in 75 minutes, sit back and hopefully the team score.
I suppose a part of this World Cup is going to be game management too, because the heat and the humidity, which is something that we can't really account for over here. You hear the reports over there.
I went my holidays 2 weeks ago, right, and I'm not a man for going my holidays, sat in 75 degrees, but I handled it.
Yeah, you weren't running about playing a professional football game, Scott. You were sitting on a sun lounger, surely.
You get hydration breaks now in the football. No, I mean, well, get a wee, to get a wee drink.
For that, someone that has played at the highest level and will have played in heat, what will that heat and humidity, you know, what kind of impact does it have in the game, Craig?
I think also the pressure of the situation, as we spoke about, you've got something to hang on to. And for me, I don't think the fight was lacking. I think it was just purely, as Roger said, human nature is when you're trying to protect that you're a wee bit more cautious. You will do anything to win. And if that meant sitting 2, 3, 4 yards deeper and defending your box, I'm okay with it. And I'm glad that we managed to get the win.
Just generally the hydration breaks, Roger, what have you made of them? Because it's not something we see very often. I mean, they are there. Realistically, they're there, I think, more to do with advertising than anything else, because it doesn't really matter what heat the game is, they're still
there. There's not quite enough time to get the kettle boiled and get a cup of tea and a biscuit and get back before it starts again. You either need to shorten them so you don't try and make the tea, or they need to lengthen them so realistically you've got enough time to get out and get the tea.
You've got enough time to get a beer out of the fridge, though, surely. That's the main point for Scotland fans.
Andrew, I'm an athlete. Come on.
Well, thank you to Scott. What about Charlie in Greenock? Charlie, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, guys. I watched the game the other night. I thought it was brilliant. I don't know if you agree, but I thought it was the best I've ever heard the national anthem sung, and it turned out it was like thousands of miles away. It wasn't even at Hampden Park, you know what I mean? The noise was incredible. The atmosphere was great to start. But it kind of, sadly, I don't want to be negative, but sadly it shows just how bad at Hampden is. It's been raised, I know it's been raised on the show before, and people and myself. It just shows you how bad it is.
I've been at Hampden many times and heard O'Flora Scotland at Hampden, and I've had the hairs on my neck standing up. I don't know whether this, like, I know people don't like Hampden, but whether it is, you know, some Scotland games, you look at the atmosphere in the Scotland-Denmark game, or you even look at it for cup finals, Old Firm games there, I do feel like there can be a brilliant atmosphere at Hampden.
I agree. I think there's been many special occasions at Hampden. I think naturally when you've got the running track, it can be planted a seed in people's head that you can't create as good an atmosphere. But I've been lucky enough to stand in the lineup for a national anthem at Hampden and been nothing prouder. And I think speaking on the other night, the national anthem was unbelievable. You've seen the emotion in all the players in the lineup. They were passionate. They were ready, and it was a really special one.
There was that interesting thing they've been doing of having all the players in the squad out for the national anthem. Do you like that?
Liked it the other night. I thought it kept the group together. When I first heard of the idea, I didn't love it, but actually seeing it the other night, I thought it worked quite well.
I quite like it. I think it's good. It's a bit of a spectacle. It's different. The World Cup's different. You're not going to do it every week, you know. I don't think you're going to do it, you know, before Motherwell St Mirren next season or anything. So it just adds a wee bit of pizzazz to the occasion, and it lets everybody feel involved. I'm just looking at these Cape Verde players, Andrew. They're feeling involved. 93 and a bit minutes, less than 2 minutes of added time to go, and holding Spain 0-0. And my prediction for the winner of the World Cup is beginning to look a bit silly.
Oh, have you gone for Spain, have you?
Yes.
Charlie, just on the Scotland support, you talk about how loud it was over in Boston. I think at times it maybe even felt like a home game for Scotland, just with how loud the fans are. Is there a hope that that can maybe play a part in the next couple of games and the supporters can, you know, really drive the team on?
That's a good question, Andrew. I would like to think it does. I would like to think it will, because I feel that we're up against it. Unfortunately, the worst case scenario for Scotland has happened, and it's that Morocco are through with Brazil. So if two of them are going to win that group now, if two of them are in with a chance of winning the group, and it's going to be goal difference, and if two of them are going to be going for it against us and Haiti. So it's the next two games, they're going to be tough.
Would you expect there to be many changes from Steve Clarke? Charlie?
For me, no. And I trust Steve Clarke. We've got a team. I trust all the players. The players are as good as we've got, and the teams are as good as we've got. And I'm not a naysayer on Steve Clarke. I think he's done well to get us there and deserves the job. I can't think of any other changes.
He is very consistent in his squad selection a lot of the time, Steve Clarke. Do you think that his consistency in team selection will be there? Do you think with the way that the tournament's set out, with it being, you know, games close together, the fact that there is that heat to contend with, that may force his hand a little bit, and the difference in opposition as well, the difference in level, the difference in style?
I think we spoke about it earlier on the show. We've got, we can go to the back five with Kieran coming in, or you can add an extra midfielder with Ryan or Kenny. So there is options there, and I think the manager has shown he will use his squad. There's a core group of 15, 16 players that I think will play the majority of minutes over the tournament, and the boys there who aren't lucky enough to go on the pitch, they will be supporting from the side.
Thank you to Charlie on the line. What a result that is for Cape Verde. They have just drawn with Spain. So if you're feeling like you're not too optimistic about the games against Morocco and Brazil, just look at that. Spain 0, Cape Verde 0. Certainly there are shocks to be had at this World Cup.
I'm just looking at the players celebrating there. The centre half, Lopez, plays for Shamrock Rovers in the League of Ireland, and he's kept out the Spanish front line. They were thrown on Lamine Yamal, they were thrown on Nico Williams, they were thrown on Danny Olmo. They have kept a clean sheet. It's the greatest night in Cape Verde's football history.
Incredible. A big shock at the World Cup. Is there going to be a big shock for this?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Because it's either going to be Roger Hanna, you know what you're getting with Roger, he's one of the best, he plays off a -1 on Beat the Pundit, or it could be Greg Taylor. You're playing against an unknown entity. We don't know how good or bad Greg Taylor is going to be. So get your call in now, 0141 951 1025. Get it in before 7 o'clock and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Greg Taylor taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We're going to go back live to Boston. We're going to get more calls on Scotland. We're going to take a look at Rangers' managerial situation and Hearts' managerial situation over the next hour. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Do you back yourself, Greg?
Your you've football got to back knowledge. Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't back your own corner, no one's gonna.
That's true. You're sitting next to the main man. So you're either gonna be playing or you're gonna be watching a master at work.
I don't know about that.
Macaulay is in Maryhill. Macaulay, how are you?
All right, how you doing? All right, lad.
Good, thank you. Would you rather face Roger? As I say, you know what you're gonna get with Roger most of the time, or would you rather take on Greg?
Oh, Greg all day. That's what he's done phoning.
I think that's a safe bet. How are you doing?
How do you know that he's not super at this?
Because I've known him all my life, so I hope that I can beat him.
Wow.
Do you know Macaulay?
If it's the Macaulay I think on, then I could possibly.
That is correct, the Macaulay I think of.
Nice.
So one of your mates that's phoned in?
This is a bizarre set of circumstances.
You know what's going to be even more annoying is I can't rig the coin toss. So it might be Macaulay phoning in and he might be playing Roger. That's annoying. That is annoying. But it's the integrity of the game. I can't spoil it.
100%.
I can't spoil it. Right, it's going to be the blue side of the coin for Greg Taylor. It's going to be the red side of the coin for Roger Hanna. And it is the blue side of the coin for Greg Taylor. I am delighted that has happened.
We're wanting you to leave Macaulay sulking.
I don't mind that. Right, we will put something else in the ear of Greg so he can't hear us, so he doesn't know what the questions are. For you, Macaulay, have you played before?
I have once, yeah.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good.
Let's go. Who is the youngest player in the Scotland squad?
Tyler Fletcher.
Who was the only Celtic player who started in last night's Sweden-Turkey match?
Benjamin Knighton.
Kieran Bowie plays for which Italian side?
Verona. Verona.
Who did Steve Clarke replace as Scotland manager?
Alex McLeish.
What stadium did the Boston Red Sox play at?
Fenway Park.
Derek McInnes started his managerial career at what club?
Hamilton.
In what decade did Scotland last play Brazil?
The 90s.
Right, we'll bring Greg Taylor back in. Can you hear us, Greg?
I can hear you now.
Right, same for you. It's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass if that helps you out for time. All good?
All good, let's go.
Let's do it. Who's the youngest player in the Scotland squad?
Fletcher.
Who was the only Celtic player that started last night's Sweden-Turkey match?
Negrin.
Kieran Bowie plays for which Italian side?
Hells Verona.
Who did Steve Clarke replace as Scotland manager?
Alec McLeish.
What stadium did Boston Red Sox play at?
Pass.
Derek McInnes started his managerial career at which club?
St Johnstone.
In what decade did Scotland last play Brazil?
the 90s.
Who is the only Scottish player to score in three World Cups?
John Collins.
Tell you what, Greg was speedy. You got through a good few questions.
Good tactics.
Macaulay, how do you think it went?
I'm not sure. Not bad.
It's definitely tight. It's definitely tight. Right, let's go through them. Who is the youngest player in the Scotland squad? You both said Tyler Fletcher. You both got it correct. So it's 1-1 to kick things off. Who was the only Celtic player that started last night's game between Sweden and Turkey? You both said Benjamin Negrin. You both got it correct.
That's good.
2-2. Kieran Bowie plays for which Italian side? 3-3, because you both said Hellas Verona.
I'm liking
this. Who did Steve Clark replace as Scotland manager? The answer is Alex McLeish. You both got it.
Oh, what about this?
I mean, I never thought that this would be a question on Beat the Pundit ever. What stadium did the Boston Red Sox play at? But it is topical. We have mentioned it a few times on the show. It must have just passed over Greg's head. Macaulay got it, though.
He said
Fenway Park. So it goes 5-4 to Macaulay. Dennis McInnes started his managerial career at what club? Greg said St Johnstone. That's correct. Macaulay said Hamilton. So it goes 5-5. In what decade did Scotland last play Brazil? You both went for the 90s, but it was the 2010s. It was a 2-0 defeat. Was that the one at
the Emirates?
Yeah, Neymar scored.
A friend of the show, Mark Wilson, on the bench for Scotland.
Oh, the greatest story ever. Have you heard this? That at the end of the game, the Brazil kit man came in with Dani Alves's shirt and said, does anyone want to swap shirts? And Mark sort of looked about. Mark didn't play, but he thought, I'll take it, no one else. So he then gives Mark Dani Alves his shirt. The kit man goes back through with Mark's shirt, comes back 2 minutes later, chap on the door. He says, no, he wants a shirt of someone who played, and swaps the shirts back again. So he didn't get it. That is an absolute nightmare. Anyway, sorry, the tension on Beat the Pundit, because it's 5-5. Macaulay didn't get any more questions in. Greg Taylor got one more question in. Who's the only Scotland player to score at three World Cups? You went for John Collins. The answer,
Joe Jordan.
So it's 5-5. Means it goes to a tiebreaker.
So
what I am going to do is I'm going to read out the question. Greg is going to write his answer down. He's not going to say it out loud. He's going to write it down. And once he's written down his answer, I'll get yours to say your answer out loud, Macaulay. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's perfect, mate. Yep.
Okay. How many goals have Scotland scored at all men's World Cups and Euros combined? So how many goals have Scotland scored at all men's World Cup and European Championships combined? So I'll just wait on Greg to write his down. He's having a good think about it. He's still thinking. There we go. He's written his answer down. Macaulay, what are you going for?
32.
You have gone for 32. Greg has gone for 14. The answer is 33. Macaulay was one out and wins it and beats Greg. I know. That's 32. He's one off. That is a great, great answer.
Macaulay, that's, well done.
It's not a bad showing from you, Greg, but you've been beaten by someone that was clearly on form on the tiebreaker.
I'm okay with that.
How do you know each other?
We grew up with each other.
Is that right? Went to school?
Yeah,
school
exactly. Together. A few years younger, but yeah.
Brilliant. Macaulay, that must feel good, getting one over him.
Delighted.
On live radio.
Honestly, delighted.
From a footballing perspective, Macaulay, you've been watching along the World Cup. What have you been making of it?
Yeah, mate, it's been brilliant. It's good, obviously, during the summer, isn't it, to watch a wee bit of football. And it's been really good, obviously, buzzing on Saturday night or Sunday morning with the result and everything. It's just bizarre. My wee boy, actually, I picked him up from Taekwondo the night, and I heard Greg on the radio, and actually I thought I'm phoning up Beat the Pundit. But when I was explaining to him, there's only like 4 years, he was asking why these houses are all decorated for the World Cup. I was explaining it's just such a big occasion, and obviously Scotland have never been there in my lifetime. So yeah, it's amazing. It really is. It's really good.
Brilliant. Thank you to Macaulay. Are you raging about that he's phoned in, or you don't mind?
No, I'm okay with that. I'm more raging with how far off I was with the answer. So, but thankfully, Macaulay was close, so it doesn't hurt as much.
You got a 5, which is not a bad showing at all.
It's
all right. You'll get it next time. We'll get you back on and you'll have another go at it, I'm sure. Right, thank you to Macaulay. Let's cross live to Boston once again and speak to Gabriel. I think he's managed to get a hold of another Scotland fan.
Yes, I do, Andrew. I've got Kevin here.
from just outside of Glasgow. Kevin, another person in the famous top. Kevin, tell us your thoughts. How's everything been in Boston so far? I know you're at the first game, you're going to the next game. How's it been?
Fantastic. Just the atmosphere's been brilliant. I think the result there just now is just showing that beating 81-0, good result. Just win your first game and you just get started, get 3 points in the ball.
What do you want to see differently for the Morocco games? Starting with you, we're kind of looking ahead now to that on Friday night. What do you want to see?
Yeah, I think I just want to see us be a bit more composed in the ball, kind of try and build, kind of more from the back. We've got the players to do that, and I really do think we can hit Morocco in the break.
Would you make changes to the formation?
Yeah, I would probably play a similar formation to the one we played previously under Steve Clark. Maybe go with the three at the back, just to try and nullify Morocco. And then we've got the players, obviously, to try and hit them in the break.
Who would you be bringing in? Is it Kieran Tierney into centre-half?
Yeah, probably. I'd probably bring Tierney in to centre-half. And then I would like to see Kristen start as well. I really think he missed his presence. Wow, really missed his composure in the ball. But especially with Gilmore, obviously not being available. And that's really important to try and get this result in the other night.
Yeah, Andrew, everyone in this bar does have this famous coral, salmon, whatever you want to call it, top on. I've just got to tell you, there was a lot of Cape Verde fans in it as well. When that final whistle went, plenty of celebrations here in Boston.
Kevin, who are you over there with?
So I'm over with my dad and a few of my friends, so it's been fantastic so far. I was only 7 for the last World Cup, so really hoping that we can go all the way, be optimistic.
Outside of the actual game, what have been the highlights so far?
I think just seeing everybody just from back home. I've seen loads of people I know from back home who I wasn't even expecting being here. I think just everybody coming together. It's just been great. The atmosphere's been great. The whole party's been great. Just being part of this occasion again, it's been fantastic.
Because Gabriel, we were over in Germany, and I remember I couldn't quite believe it that when you were walking about Munich, it seemed as if there were more Scottish people than German people there. Every corner you turned, there were just hundreds and hundreds of Scotland fans everywhere. I think people maybe thought it would be a bit different for the World Cup just because, you know, the scale of Boston, just how big America is, the fact that the tournament is so spread out. But has it felt quite similar to that?
Yeah, it certainly has done. I mean, Boston is perhaps a bigger city than some of the ones we're in Germany. I mean, no one's going to forget the square Marienplatz the day before Scotland's opening game against Germany. But I think if you look back to Friday night, obviously we're going out and trying a few of the local delicacies, the local beers on Friday night. But that's when you had people coming in from out of town just for their standard night out who hadn't been in the city. And people were shocked by how many Scottish fans, boys, girls, families, everyone was just out. And it shocked us as well, because as you said, Andrew, I didn't think it was going to be as big as Germany. I don't think there are as many as went up to Germany, but it's a lot more than you thought it would be. And as Kevin was saying, just bumping into people that you didn't even know were coming here. I bumped into one of my brother's best mates from back home in Aberdeen at Fenway Park yesterday, not seen him in years, and bumped into him. That kind of thing is what's just happening on the daily here in Boston. It's going to be interesting because over the next few days, it might be a bit quieter. Not making any promises, Kevin, but the game's not until Friday, so it's going to be interesting to see what the Tartan Army get up to, perhaps to go and do a bit of sightseeing up at Salem or down in Cape Cod. I know a few people are going to New York today as well. There are plenty of fans here, and listen, everyone's wearing the coral top, the salmon top. I'm not going to wear it again, so I'm getting too much thick, but it is a belter.
Yeah, whoever's decision it was to come up with that kit, must be getting a bonus of some description, surely.
It's an unbelievable kit, it really is. But I want to know if the stipulation to get on is you have to wear it.
And Kevin's clearly not got the MO of the show that he needs to shave off the actual beard part. He just needs to keep the moustache part of the beard.
Well, if we win the World Cup, we'll do that for you, Andrew, right?
There we go. I like that. What's the plans for the next couple of weeks, Kevin? Are you staying out for it? Are you heading down to Miami?
No, I'm just doing the first two games. So heading home on Saturday, unfortunately. But it's just great to be here, just great to be part of it. And I can't wait for the game on Friday night, because the atmosphere in that game on Saturday There's nothing like I've ever experienced before. It was just unbelievable.
Do you think it can go up another level? I know it was the first World Cup game in 28 years, and that makes it, you know, extremely special in itself. But do you think this game on Friday is capable of matching, surpassing it in terms of atmosphere, especially if the result comes along with it?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think the issue on Saturday night was everybody expected to win, and everybody expected to win by a few goals. So I think there was a lot of nervous energy. But I think we play better when we're the underdog. We play better when we can counter-attack teams. And I think if we can get a goal on Friday night and get a result, I think times it by 100 what it was on Saturday, 100%.
What's the difference in pressure like as a player going into a game, you know, for the national side where people are expecting you to go and win, and then going into a game where, you know, a team full of quality that, you know, it's going to be a tough game and people maybe aren't expecting such a good result?
I think in an occasion like the World Cup, there's going to be pressure in every game. But I think everyone knew how vital the first game was going to be. It was our best chance at winning a game, and by doing that, I think that has taken the pressure off. And as Kevin said, hopefully the boys can go out and enjoy themselves and play a bit more and really, really rise to the occasion in the next two.
Styles make matches too, and you'd expect that with Morocco, they will be more open, they will be more expansive. Is that something that Scotland can hopefully try and exploit at times?
Yeah, I think it is, but also I think we have the option to add the extra midfielder in there. You've seen the other night how strong Morocco were in midfield, so I think that is something the manager is likely to do for this game. And I think we still have Pace and Doak and Robbo and these boys to carry us up the pitch, so I think it'll be an exciting matchup.
Thank you very much to Gabriel and Kevin over there in Boston. We'll let you head off, Kevin, and enjoy the rest of your day. We're still taking your calls, 0141 951 1025. We will turn our attentions very shortly to the managerial situation at Rangers. Still no confirmation yet of the fact that Danny Rule and Danny Rule's on his way to Austria, and Dennett McInnes is going to be taking his way from Hearts to Rangers. So any thoughts on that, give us a call, 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Greg Taylor here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're here all the way through until 8 o'clock, so you can let us know what you are thinking. Maybe it is Scotland that's occupying your mind. I'm sure that is the case for most of the people around the country over the next couple of weeks, but totally fine if you want to make a domestic point too, because lots going on, especially at Celtic and Rangers. The Rangers managerial situation: Danny Rule on his way to RB Salzburg, Dennett McInnes on his way to Rangers. That's going to leave Hearts without a manager. And of course at Celtic, Martin O'Neill is in, but still no sign of Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham. Just on that Rangers point, Roger, I think we're now just almost waiting for confirmation now to see exactly when that's all going to be signed and sealed.
Well, I'll give you confirmation. Danny Rule's no longer the Rangers manager. It's as simple as that. He's going to RB Salzburg. I think this whole domino effect, there are no losers in it, Andrew. RB Salzburg get the manager they want. Danny Rule gets a good move to a good club, back closer to his family. Negotiations are still on for him to take, I think, three members of his backroom team. I can't imagine there'll be any problems there. There's kind of been, for me, for about 10 years now, there's been an inevitability that at one stage Dennett McInnes would be a manager of Rangers. It almost happened in 2017, when he was Aberdeen manager. He's been linked with it since then, and he will come and be manager of Rangers. So Rangers got a good manager, and Derek is a good job, and it allows Jameson Analytics and Hearts to put the data and the algorithms to work. The algorithms that have found the likes of Claudio Braga and Alex Kizaridis and, you know, people like that, put it to work and get themselves a manager. That doesn't necessarily mean the manager's coming from the Kazakhstan second division. It might be a manager close to home. I know people have said to me in the last 24 hours they think John McGlynn is a genuine candidate for the Hearts job. So Hearts will get a manager they're happy with. Rangers will get a manager they're happy with. RB Salzburg will get a manager they are happy with, and everyone will move on.
You'll have played against Dennett McInnes' sides countless times over your career. What sort of football should Rangers fans expect from a Dennett McInnes team?
Yeah, exactly. Difficult opponents, whether it was at Kilmarnock or Aberdeen, and I didn't play against Derek's Hearts team, but I think it's evidence is the anywhere he's went, he's got positive results. He's a manager that a lot of players love to play for, and I'm sure that the Rangers fans will be pretty happy with that appointment.
Has it surprised you the way it's unfolded, just the fact that Danny Rowe came in not all that long ago, got the backing from Andrew Kavanagh just a few weeks ago? It seemed as if he was going to be in charge, and all of a sudden Derek McInnes, who had such a good season with Hearts, is now switching over and joining Lauren Shankland at Ibrox.
No, I don't think in football you're ever surprised, and I think with the season that we just had in Scottish football, I'm even less surprised. Derek Stock's really high after an amazing season, and as Roger said, there's always been a bit of inevitability that he would end up at Rangers, and it seems to be about to happen now.
Andy, as a Rangers fan in Finiston, I think you've got points on both Rangers and Scotland. Andy, we'll start with Rangers. How are you feeling about those two moves? Danny Rule out, Derek McInnes in.
At one point I was kind of batting Danny Rule, but when the last one he said, oh, we've got five cup finals and he won four. And I don't know, I don't say we're dodging him, I think some of the players let him down, but I'm delighted with Danny McInnes because, as the boys were saying, he knows the Scottish game, he knows what it's like to play for a club at Rangers, and I think he'll get the total best, whoever leaves or whoever comes in, he's going to get the total best of the players. And let
them
know what it's like to play for Rangers.
There's been people have talked about Roger, the fact that Danny Rowe got that backing a few weeks ago, but as soon as the interest came in from RB Salzburg, doesn't look as if Rangers were really putting up much of a fight to keep a hold of him, did they?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment, Andrew. Danny Rowe, he was only there a matter of months. He improved the team markedly in the first few months. But when it came to the point of the season where you actually need to win the big games, they came up short. I think Andy's right. It's not all Danny Rowe's fault. A lot of that is down to the players. But Derek McInnes will have seen that from a distance at the other end of the M8. He will have assessed what players he thinks he can lean on next season, which players he doesn't think he can lean on next season, and which players he might want to bring into the football club. As Greg said, his captain from last season's beaten them to it. So who's to say, there was a lot of talk at Jameson Analytics, but Hearts last season, the success they had or nearly had was built on Craig Halkett, Stuart Finlay, Cammy Devlin and Benny Meringame and Shankland and Braga. And only Braga came through the algorithms. The rest were players that Derek McInnes trusted to win games in the Scottish Premiership. And he will have players that he believes he can trust to come in and win games for Rangers next season.
Andy was talking about the fact that Derek McInnes knows the club, he knows what it means to be at Rangers. People use that quite often when it comes to Celtic and Rangers about, managers and players, the fact that, if they've been in that goldfish bowl, they know what it takes. As a player, do you think, have you seen the differences of managers coming in? Does it matter all that much? Is it just a sort of case-by-case basis?
Exactly that. I think it doesn't need to be, and it doesn't also guarantee success if you're from Scotland that you're instantly going to win in Scotland. But I think it also will help. You've got guys now in the building like Lon Shankland, who has been in the leagues, has been one of the top players in the leagues for countless seasons now. And as I said earlier, Derek's also had a brilliant track record in Scotland, and I think he'll be excited by the opportunity he's got now.
I will. Listen, there's scope to bring players in. There's a lot of players left through, end of contracts or loan spells. So only Shankland's come in. He'll look for more players. I'm just thinking, Andrew, Jaden Magoma and Derek Cornelius away. He could be looking for left-footed defenders.
Andy, when you look at Lauren Shankland, the fact that he is there and is linking up with Derek McInnes again, Shankland was prolific last season. He was a talismanic figure for Hearts when they came so close to winning the title. Do you hope that that's a partnership, a manager-striker pairing that can work really well again for Rangers?
Oh, definitely. He'll know how to play him, and he'll get the rest of the team to go, right, Lawrence can do this. I mean, Lawrence does a lot of work as well, He does a lot of work off the ball. So, I don't know if he's going to keep me off here, I don't know. But, Lawrence Shankland is a great signing, but again, I still don't know who's going to be leaving and who's coming in. So, but I think Danny McInnes will have a right good idea and go, right, I want this player, and I think the board will say, okay, take him, get him.
We had a few callers on, Greg, when Lauren Shanklin first signed for Rangers and James Tavernier had not long left and the Rangers captain's armband is vacant. With Lauren Shanklin being the Hearts captain under Derek McInnes, could you see that maybe being a natural progression, him potentially taking the armband?
I think that's a fair assessment. They've worked together, they trust each other, so I wouldn't be surprised if that came to the front of Derek's ideas, but equally I'm sure he'll also have other ideas and other players in there that he'll want to look at before he gives such a big decision.
Do you think there will be that Scottish core? It was something that Andrew Kavanagh talked about. He said that there will be a Scottish bias, if you like, in the transfer market. It's almost as if there's been a sort of Scottish bias when it comes to in the dugout, because it looks as if he's now preferring Derek McInnes to... And it's something that Derek McInnes has bought into over the years, because he's not, apart from his time at Hearts, he hadn't really gone onto the continent and bought many players.
No, I think of Kilmarnock and Aberdeen. I think there's two reasons you would do that. One is because of the UEFA rules. You know, if you get into European football, you need so many homegrown players. But listen, Greg will tell you, Greg, as David O'Connor said earlier on, won a lot of things with Celtic. And who did you win them with? Callum McGregor, James Forrest. You've mentioned there Ryan Christie, the likes of David Turnbull was there, Stuart Armstrong was there. It was a Scottish core in that dressing room, and I do think you need that. It's great to have the exciting Kyogo, Maida, Hatate, Dembele, Edward, guys like that. But I do think wherever you are, and I presume it's the same, I presume there's a Greek core in the Pauk.
Exactly, that I had that conversation when I first signed in Pauk. It's so vital for, see, the games that aren't the glamour games against the bigger opponents or the derbies. These games often take care of themselves, but having that core and players inside that really know that this is a difficult opponent, this player's good, this player's strong within the league, it can't be taken for granted. And that was a big part of our success at Celtic for many seasons, having the Scottish core, but also guys that came in and understood pretty quick, like Ali Johnson, like Cameron Carter-Vickers. Yeah. So I think that is pretty vital.
Was that interesting for you, being on the other side of that, taking your first venture abroad and you being in the Celtic dressing room, the Kilmarnock dressing room over the years, seeing these guys come in, having to play a big part in them settling in, and then being on the other side of that over in Greece?
Yeah, it takes a bit of getting used to. You go from being a big voice within the changing room and you're from the country, so it's easier. Whereas you sign for a team in Greece, it's so many different languages spoken. English isn't the first language spoken, so it's taken a bit of time and you just have to naturally find your way in the changing room and earn the respect as time goes on.
How's your Greek?
Very basic.
Don't worry, I won't ask you to say anything. Andy, have you got a point on Scotland you wanted to make?
Aye, listen, we'll take these 3 points. That was amazing, absolutely amazing. And I really think we're only going to get better now. I know you're going to maybe, I know you guys are talking, you'll tweak the system, but I think we can only get better. I mean, in the Tartan, I'm a Scotland fan, but I know the Tartan Army is absolutely amazing. So I just wish us all the luck, and I think we can get a point, whether it's Bath or Rock or Brazil. I think we can really do it.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let's speak to Sean, who's in Garth Thamlock. Sean, what's on your mind? Is it Scotland, Rangers?
Rangers. I hope Derek McInnes comes tomorrow or the next 48 hours, and hopefully he puts a bid in and brings Braga with him.
Be a big shout, Claudio Braga.
Listen, he did very, very well with Shanklin last season. I'm not sure that would be truly welcomed by Hearts. Lon Shanklin had that clause in his contract that amazingly Rangers found out about and were able to exploit and take him to Ibrox for nothing.
Can I take a fair guess that Claudio Braga's not got that in his contract?
I think he'd probably guess that as well. I think, Sean, if I'd been honest, I think more likely it might be Cammy Devlin, who's out of contract. He's at the World Cup with Australia just now. He was a key man at Hearts for Derek McInnes. He's 29 years of age. This is going to be probably Cammy Devlin's last big deal of his pro career. I would think there's interest, as we say, in America in him, but he's lived in Scotland a few years now. He knows Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes knows him. I think he would be, of all the players left behind at Hearts, I think he'd be the most likely to follow Derek to Ibrox.
Yeah, Hearts fans wouldn't like it, Sean, I'm sure, but is that a move you'd like to see?
I would like to see it, but I've got another wee thing. What's happening with the coaching staff? Are they leaving with the manager, or are they staying and got to be part of Derek McInnes's?
Yeah, it seems that that's maybe why there hasn't been any official announcement yet, Roger, is that Danny Rule's looking to take his staff with him and they need to finalise that.
I think he's keen to take his number two, to take the fitness guy, Sasha Lenz, and also to take the goalie coach, Sunil Beeble, with him. I think negotiations are ongoing. I was going to say, you can really see a slip-up now. I don't think you can see a slip-up now, but I think Celtic are still negotiating with Martin O'Neill's backroom staff, so you never know.
From a Hearts perspective, any discussion on what you expect Derek McInnes to do in terms of backroom staff? I know Alan Archibald, Paul Sheeran.
Well, listen, we were discussing that off air with Greg earlier on. He took Alan and Paul from Kilmarnock to Hearts, so I don't think it's a leap of faith to think he could bring them with him to Ibrox. I always think it makes more sense because if you leave them behind, then the new guy at Hearts comes in and he's probably wanting his own staff with him. So I think it would make sense. Derek trusts Alan and Paul implicitly. I think it would make sense if they came with him.
Supporters sometimes quite like the idea, Sean, of there being a former player in there. That's normally when it is a manager that's coming in from a league, has never managed in Scotland before. Would you expect Derek McInnes to maybe be looking at any other former players alongside himself to be in the dugout, or would you be happy with him just to bring his staff from Hearts?
He could bring his staff from Hearts, but maybe even bring in Barry Ferguson or Stephen Naismith, I don't know. But I would like maybe another ex-Rangers player to come, but I'm not saying it doesn't need to be all Rangers. I'm not why these people need to be all full of Rangers, but I'd like maybe an extra Rangers player to come, and hopefully it'll be good and hopefully he wins trophies. And hopefully Scotland get something on Friday and go far in the World Cup. Or hopefully I'll even go and win it.
Go and win the whole thing?
Yep, why not?
Why not, Craig?
I like the sounds of that.
Just on the performance on, what was it, Sunday morning? I'm just getting confused with the time difference now. The game on Sunday morning, Sean, has that given you belief, Scotland getting the win to kick things off, that things can just continue to build into the next couple of games?
Yeah, it's gave me a belief. I'm glad we got the win. I think there was a lot of nerves in the game. I don't think we played the best football, but I know the heat comes into it and the time difference was crazy. I'm still tired for the work that game, man. But I'm just hoping we at least get a point, because I believe if we get a point, I know somebody says, I don't know if it's yourselves or another channel, if Scotland don't get any more points, like what's the next two games, they can slightly still qualify. Is that correct?
The third place team, it kind of comes down to goal difference, really. It's expected that 3 points could be enough to get you through, Sean, but you really kind of need to be on the correct side of goal difference. We don't know what the line is going to be, though, Roger, because people have talked about in previous tournaments that third place teams have got through with 3 points and a minus two goal difference has been enough at times, but this World Cup is bigger, so we've never seen anything like it. There's nothing really exactly to replicate it, but if you're on 3 points, you're going to need to have a semi-decent goal difference to stand a chance of going through.
Listen, there will be groups where the third place team has 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already ahead of them, Andrew. So what we're really hoping for is loads of draws and loads of games and teams getting stuck in 2 points and Scotland coming through with a minimum of 3 points. Hopefully we'll pick up more in the next two games.
Thank you to Sean. In case you missed it earlier on, you can take part in our free football predictor for a chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. You need to try and predict what's going to happen, try and put all the groups in order, see who's going to get through to the knockout stages. You can compete against other Scotland fans on the leaderboard. There's bonus prizes for the runners-up and entries close on Thursday the 18th of June at 5 o'clock. You can enter now at Clyde1.com and you can also find it via the Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard social channels.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So if you've got any final points to make to Roger Hannah and Greg Taylor, you can give us a call. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Just interested to hear your take on Celtic season after leaving last summer, because it was, I think, roller coaster is maybe an understatement, but ended the same way that most of the seasons over the past decade plus have done for Celtic in getting the trophies, but was a different avenue in getting there.
Yeah, I think for long parts of the season it probably was not what the fans have been used to, the players have been used to, but any team to win 7 games in a row, to win a league, I don't think you can argue who deserves it in that situation. And the mentality within the group, and speaking earlier, guys like Callum and James and Kieran now, like, carry the boys over the line in the end.
Did it come as no surprise to you that despite the fact that there was all that adversity, what had happened with Wilfred Nancy coming in, the various changes of managers, Brendan Rodgers leaving, that the team managed to get it over the line, just knowing a lot of the players, knowing the mentality that they've got?
No, I wasn't shocked. I think I'd be lying if I said throughout the season I thought it was a foregone conclusion that Celtic would win the league. There was definitely points near the end where Hearts were on a strong run that you maybe thought it wasn't going to be the season we'd hoped for, but in the end, as I said, to put that run together, the big players that we spoke about that for Scotland, they were going to be vital, and the big players for Celtic, getting Ali Johnson back fit, Dizan hitting form at the right time, I think these were key moments in a right key part of the season.
Dizan Maeda was playing yesterday for Japan. He went through that long spell, I think it was 18 games or so, that he went without scoring a goal for Celtic and then stepped up in the big moments. What does it say about him and what he's capable of, that, you know, when it really mattered for Celtic, he managed to step up, get those goals, and ultimately help Celtic win a double?
I think in a difficult part of the season for not just Dizan, that was everyone within the building, whether it was staff, players. So I don't think it could all be down to Dizan not having his best run of form, but he found it at the key part of the season, and he's been a real key, consistent, top performer. Even if he's not been finding the goals or finding the assists at different moments in the game, his pressing and his relentless energy has been a real key component of a strong Celtic team throughout the years.
As we talked about the Rangers managerial situation, Roger, the Celtic managerial situation is sorted to some extent, that Martin O'Neill is there, but there is this now sort of strange limbo period where the club, Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham, seem to be at a bit of an impasse over whether they're going to return, what the terms of that return are going to be. And what maybe makes it even more interesting is they're actually both in quite different scenarios. Sean Maloney is an employee of the club. He has a job at the club that's not the job that he's potentially getting. And then Mark Fotheringham isn't an employee of the club, so it's maybe not, you know, it's complicated in a couple of different ways.
I think for Celtic's point of view, you would hope that they can reach an agreement, because Martin O'Neill, Andrew, will be the first to tell you how big a role Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham played in those last months of the season. Now, Martin, even going back to his first spell, Martin was never a training ground coach. It was always Steve Walford that was out and took training, talking 25 years ago. And Martin would come in and he was your prototype manager. He managed situations, he managed players, he managed personalities, and he got the best out of them. I was watching before the Japan game last night, I was watching your old boss Ange Postecoglou on ITV, and he was talking about Dizan Maeda, and he was asked about that run of form. I think it was 9 goals in 7 games Dizan finished the season with, and Ange said, yeah, I think Martin's, you know, put an arm around him and just got the best out of him at the right time. That's what Martin does. So you can do that, but you still need the nuts and bolts guys out in the training ground, working with the players Monday to Friday, putting plans in place, you know, in place. And that's what Sean and Mark Fotheringham did. And Martin will be desperate to get them back working next season. The last thing he will want to do is to try and put together some other type of backroom staff without Sean and Mark. That's why I think it might take a day or two, but I think there will be peace in our time.
How important do you think it will be for the players too to have that consistency when Martin, Sean, Mark have come in across 2 spells last season, got the job done, got a double, Martin O'Neill's back? The players would probably just be expecting that it would be the same management team that would come in, and it would probably be a bit of a shock to them if all of a sudden Martin O'Neill turns up for the first day of pre-season and there's 2 other coaches that weren't there last season.
No, I think continuity will be important in a summer that could be a lot of change at Celtic. There's a lot of players coming back from loans. There'll be new players coming in. And I think getting them 2 guys back will be pretty vital for that staff. There's already amazing guys in the building, guys like Gavin Strachan, Steve McManus. So they have them coaches there, but I think Martin would be probably desperate to get the other 2 guys back.
It's important for planning too, because when Martin O'Neill talked about, especially when you look back to the January window, He talked about Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham a lot when it came to recruitment, and he said that they, you know, they're looking at players, they're running the rule over them. He said that he would have the final say, but, you know, they were doing it as a staff. So if you're then got a big turnover of players that some people are expecting, and they're still you know, futures up in the air. Martin O'Neill was saying not that long ago that he wouldn't stand in the way of Dyson Maeda if he wanted to leave. We don't know what's happening with Kelechi Iheanacho, etc.
That's the thing, and I mentioned when we were talking about Derek McInnes a wee while ago, we said, you know, Derek knows the players he can trust for Hearts, and he knows the players he can trust. Martin O'Neill discovered very quickly the players he could trust. Celtic in that run of seven wins at the end, he didn't see any of those guys who come in loan in January. It was a very much a core of 14 or 15 players. James Forrest played a vital part again, you know, coming back in. And Martin knew the ones he could trust. Now, of those players, Dyson will probably go. Martin admitted that the day before the cup final. Rio Hatate will probably go because, you know, he's kind of fallen out of the picture. Wouldn't surprise me if Arne Engels went because they knocked back big money for him in January. And when that happens, the only way you can, Greg will know, the only way you can sell that to the player is to say, listen, see you in the next window. When that bid comes back in, we need you now, but the next time you can go. Ali Johnson, if he shines in the World Cup for Canada, there are bound to be people interested in him. You mentioned Iheanacho. What happens with him? What happens with Oxlade-Chamberlain? All those loan players who are gone and won't be back, they'll need to be replaced as well. So you could be looking, this sounds ridiculous, Martin could be looking at bringing in 10 or 12 players.
And it's, you look at the guys that you've mentioned, the likes of Callum McGregor, the likes of James Forrest, who's got another year on his deal, when there maybe is a bit of upheaval in the squad. Is it, you know, how important is it having these guys in the changing room that have been the ever presence, that know exactly what it's like to be at Celtic and can sort of run the rule over that dressing room no matter how many changes there are across the summer?
Yeah, so vital. You've seen the three new contracts that got announced, and it was James, Luke and Liam Scales, and I think all were brilliant decisions, brilliant players on the pitch, but vital in the changing room, vital in the training ground, driving standards, almost just being that backing voice to Callum. And I think them three guys in particular were, it was easy decisions, and I think it made sense.
Just on your time in Greece before we finish up, I think you're back soon going over there. How much are you looking forward to a second season?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a time of settling in, a whole different change for me. The first time I've moved away from home. So I'm excited to go back for pre-season and give it my best crack and see where next season takes me.
European place did you finish last season? What have you got in terms of qualifiers?
So I think we're the second round of the Europa League qualifying. We had a disappointing result in the last game, which meant we're not Champions League qualifying. So I think the first game's the 23rd of July, so an early start.
When it comes to Scotland, I think everyone really knows the story that, you know, you'll feel tough at the era that you've come through, at the fact that you've been competing with the likes of Andy Robertson and you've been competing with the likes of Kieran Tierney. You've been in so many squads over the year. You've played a big part for this Scotland squad. Have you still got ambitions of getting back into the Scotland setup going forward?
Absolutely. Like, I think you've got to be playing regularly and playing well at your club, and that normally then the national team will take care of itself. You're watching on, and it's the pinnacle of any player's career, being at a World Cup or playing at a World Cup. So of course you look on and wish that was you, but when I watched the game the other night, it was, all I had was like immense pride and joy for the players involved, because there are a lot of ex-teammates, friends. So no, I mean, I'll be watching the other two games with just pure pride and hoping they can do the job.
People will kind of ask those questions about, you know, how does it feel not being at the World Cup, but it is, you know, just watching it, you still feel, you know, involved in that way because you know the guys so well and you're just still friends with them all.
Exactly that. It's, and I think the whole country has felt that, whether they've been a part of Scotland squads, they're just a fan, they're part of the Tartan Army. Everyone as a nation is so excited by this opportunity, and just because you're not there as a player doesn't mean it's any different for me. So no, what an amazing opportunity and time for everyone.
Well, that is all we have time for tonight on the phones. I'm just having a look to see what games there are tonight. I'm assuming you'll be staying up till 2 in the morning to watch Iran against New Zealand, Roger.
Perhaps not.
No, a man like you, scholar of the game.
I'll tape it and get up at 6 and just watch. Don't text me the score. I don't want it spoiled.
Make sure to stay off of social media. Don't want any spoil. I think I actually saw a video on social media of a family that had basically all turned off their phones, turned off social media for the game the other night because the kids were too young, and they just watched it in the morning as if it was live and none of them had seen the game. I thought that was quite a good idea.
That's absolutely terrific.
I quite like that.
I'll be sure all the Iranian players have been allowed into America.
Is that a political debate we'd like to have on Clyde One Super Scoreboard?
I don't want to sit up to 2 a.m. and there's no game.
I think probably good that we're running out of time, unless you want to get into Iran. No, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to Roger Hanna, and of course, thank you very much to Greg Taylor, a stellar Super Scoreboard debut, despite the fact that you were just edged on Beat the Pundit. So it is Callum Gallagher that's going to be up next, and of course, we are giving you all the coverage of the World Cup every single night. We'll be back tomorrow between 6 and 8.